Blog Talk Radio.
Tells us that
Courtroom alive. Purges the jurors, witnesses, spies, crooked lawyers, false indictments publicized, entertainment, the arraignments, the subpoenas, high profile gladiators in bloodthirsty arenas, enter the dragon, black robe, crooked balance, souls bought and sold and paroled for 30 talents, court reporter, catch the circus on the paper, filed in the system, not acknowledged by the maker, swearing by the Bible, blatantly blasphemous, publicly perpetrating that in God we trust. Cross-examined by a master manipulator, the faster intimidator, receiving the judge's favor, deceiving sabers, doing injury to their neighbors, for status, gratis, apparatus, and legal waivers. See the bailiff, representing security, holding the word of God, soliciting perjury, the prosecution, political prostitution, the more money you pay, the further away solution, legal actors, Babylon's benefactors, masquerading as the agency for the clients, hypocritical giants, morally non-compliant, orally armed to do bodily harm, polluted, recruited, and suited judicial charm, and the defense, is it making any sense? Faking the confidence of escaping the consequence that a defendant is dependent on the system, totally void of judgment, purposely made to twist them, emotional victim, blackmailed by the henchmen, framed by intentions, inventions whereby they lynch men. Enter the false witness, slandering the accused, planting the seed, openly showing he's being used. Discredit, edit, headed for the alleged, smearing the individual, fearing the unsuspected, expert witness, the paid authority, made a priority to deceive the majority of disinterested peers, dodging duty for years, hating the process, waiting to return to their careers, Do we expect a system made for the elect to possibly judge correct, properly serve and protect? Materially corrupt, spiritually amok, oblivious to the cause, prosperously bankrupt, blindly than the blind, guilty never defined, filthy as swine, a generation pure in its own mind. Legal extortion, blown out of proportion, in vain deceit, the truth is obsolete. Only two positions, victimizer or victim. Both end up in destruction, trusting this crooked system. Mafia with diplomas, keeping us in a coma, trying to own a piece of the American corona. The revolving door, insanity every floor. Skyscraping, paper chasing, what are we working for? Empty traditions, reaching social positions, teaching ambition to support the family superstition. When the son of perdition is commander-in-chief, the standard is feet. Brethren, can we candidly speak? Woe to the men, trusting in the chariots, them leaning on horses, they run their intellectual sources. Counterfeit wisdom, creating the illusion of freedom. Confusion consumes them. Every word they speak, it enters them. Outwardly white, internally they act in the light. Them trapped in the night, and bondage to the cane in the night. Under the curse, evil men waxing more worse, facts in the first. Angelic being cast to the earth, it's time for rebirth. Burning up the branch and the root, the empty pursuits of every tree bearing the wrong fruit. Turn to be ill, let him who stole no longer steal. Oh Israel, surrender for Jehovah is real. How long will you sleep? Troubled by the thoughts that you keep, the idols you heap, causing the destruction you reap. Judgment has come, find it and return to the one. Abandon the flesh, self-interest, Broadway to death, pride and the greed, hide and subdividing the seed. The knowledge of good and evil is what caused us to lie, caused us to die. Let your emotions be crucified, renounce all your thoughts, repent and let your mind be retaught. You find what you sought was based on a deception you bought, a perception of naught where the majority remains caught. Loving a lie, not realizing an atom or die. Loving a lie, not realizing an atom or die. Loving a lie, not realizing an atom or die. Loving a lie, not realizing an atom or die. It's the mystery of iniquity. That is the history of iniquity. That is the misery of iniquity. Oh, and it all falls down. I'm telling you all, it all falls down.
Maya Hotep and Better Love, you are listening to the Truth to Power show, and my name is Beverly, and we have an exciting guest with us tonight. We have Leroy Lagos McDowell, and McDowell is a former researcher. He's a writer analyst for a leading global informational company with more than 100 published articles. He also served as a fellow and assistant to the legislative director and chief of staff for a U.S. congressional office. He is trained in several research disciplines and technical writing styles. As a youth, he served on the Young Advisory Council for the Maryland National Capital Parks and Recreation and author a grant proposal that created the county-wide teen program in Prince George County and hosted the first teen job fair. So let's bring up our guest.
Hey, good evening.
Can you hear me? Yes.
Yes, I can.
Thank you for joining us. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate that.
Yeah, we appreciate the work that you do.
Appreciate it. Thank you so much. And I just think that this is just a part of my purpose, so I'm glad that you invited me to come onto the show. I've actually been listening to your show since a little before, I think since 2008. I know definitely since 2010.
Wow, really? Okay.
Yeah,
I'm
actually,
glad you called in with us. Okay.
Absolutely, absolutely. So I wanted to I wanted to first step just say that Lauryn Hill's Unplugged 2.0 album was just amazing, mm-hmm. and just such an appropriate intro for today's show.
Yes, yes. Yeah. So I even heard Corona in there.
I did too.
And she was way before, that was before we ever heard of Corona.
So before we get started, I wanted to just,
okay.
I have to just say Salah, give acknowledgement and say Salah to the Most High Father and the Most Divine Mother, and just give honor to the Divine Cosmic Collective of Nine. It's just appropriate that I do that because everything
Thank
that
you.
I've experienced just has been because of that. So I just want to definitely just take time to do that and also invite you to keep the tradition going. And if you want to go ahead and start with the meditation, I would be honored.
Oh, you want me to do meditation? Okay.
Yes,
let's
please.
See what
That's
we're going to do. Okay. I can't hear you. You broke away.
I was saying that that this particular title, this topic came about after meditating with on the show that you guys had.
Okay.
So I definitely
okay.
want to keep that going.
Okay. All right. So we're going to do the I'm going to do the Pioneer Activated Meditation again. And so how we do that is you put your tongue to the root of your mouth, and you're going to breathe in through your nose. As you breathe in through your nose, you're going to have your eyes closed, and you're going to look up to your third eye, the middle of your forehead. And then when you breathe out, you don't blow out. You keep your tongue at the top of the root of your mouth, and you just let the air out. So you're breathing in, and you're activating your pioneer gland. You're breathing out all the negativity or however, the toxin. But we're going to do this on the five. So this time I'll keep count because we are in the five. The five is representing the mind, and it's also representing change here. So this is what we are dealing with. Now, do you have any idea of what you want to focus on, what we're going to go focus on?
Yes, I do have a quote, and it's by
okay.
Akhenaten, the ancient Egyptian pharaoh. The quote: "Those who gave thee a body furnished it with weakness, but he who gave you a soul armed you with resolution. Use it and be wise." So what we want to do is we want to ask for that resolution and that wisdom to be placed upon us. And it comes
okay.
from within.
So we ask.
We want to release it from, we want to ask that it be released from within.
Okay. And so when you open up your mouth, you're releasing it. You just let the air out. Keep your tongue at the top and just let the air out. And you're releasing it. Say that again. You want the wisdom, and we want what again?
We want to empower our soul so that we can
okay.
see the resolution and experience the wisdom.
Okay. So you want to see the wisdom and empower our soul.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So this is what we're going to focus on for after we do the breathing in and out for five times. Then we'll focus for about a minute, and we'll get started then. Okay, let's go. We're going to plant our feet on the floor. Just kind of relax a little bit. Put your tongue at the top at the root of your mouth. And you breathe in through your nose. Take your eyes and go up as you're breathing in towards the middle of your forehead, your pioneer gland. You hold it for a minute. Your pioneer gland is activating. You're activating it. And then you open your mouth and just let the air out. As you're breathing in again, your tongue is at the top root of your mouth. Take your eyes up to your pineal gland. You're activating it. You're holding it. Open your mouth and let the air out. Breathe in through your nose. Take your eyes up to your pineal gland, activating your power. Hold it. Open your mouth and let the air out. Breathe in through your nose. Take your eyes. You're looking up as you're breathing in. You're activating your pineal. Hold it. Open up your mouth and let the air out. Breathe in through your nose. Your eyes is going up to your forehead. Hold it. Activating your pineal gland. Now open your mouth and let it out. You don't have to blow it. Just let the air out. Do it one more time. Breathe in through your nose. Take your eyes and look at your pineal gland, the forehead. Hold it. You're activating your pineal. Now open your mouth and just let the air out. Now we're going to focus on empowering our souls, and we're going to see our wisdom and our power.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, you have the floor, Mr. Nadal.
Okay, so we're going to jump right into it. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, so we're going to go ahead and jump right into the presentation. Today's presentation is titled The Andromeda Effect. And the question is, has biotechnology and artificial intelligence positioned itself to be the savior of humanity, or is it positioning itself to be a creator of a more compliant cyborg species? But I have to say, after complete my research today, adding more to my research, I have to alter that and say, has biotechnology and artificial intelligence positioned itself to be the savior of humanity or the destroyer, so that it can usher in a more compliant cyborg species? If you ask, what do I mean by that, the research should point to the actual answer. And I came about this particular topic after we had meditated during Brother Robert X's show, Andromeda just came in my mind, Andromeda. And I was like, okay, what does Andromeda have to do? So I did my thing that I usually do, which is start researching and the internet. So I typed in Andromeda DNA, and because, of course, we were talking about during the show, we were talking about the COVID and different implications, impacts, and things like that. And so it's appropriate to type in Andromeda, the Andromeda DNA. So in doing that, so much came up. One thing that came up that stood out to me was the Andromeda Strand, which was a movie. And I had never heard about this movie. It was based in 1970. It was the movie was produced in 1971, And I ended up running across a great article that compared it to what we're dealing with today. So I'm going to go ahead and read that article. And this article is from Science Magazine and the American Association for the Advancement of Science. The name of the article is The Andromeda Strand. Have you? Let me just ask you the question. Have you heard of the movie The Andromeda Strand?
Not until you mention it.
Well, the weird thing about it was when I started reading this article, one of the things that Dr. Robert X talked about, and I say doctor, was the sound of music. We were talking about On the Square and Boxes. He was talking about the sound of music and just the what is it called? The Sophian scale or something like that.
The scale.
Fa-so-la-ti-da. So that actually, when I know one of the first things I noticed is that the producer or the director of the film was Robert Weiss of The Sound of Music. So I said, okay, there's a synchronicity. It's calling my name. I need to watch this movie and I need to read this article. So the article again is entitled The Andromeda Strands. Often invoked fictional outbreak continues to offer context for considering possible futures. The article is by Louis A. Campos and is dated March 9, 2021. It begins 50 years ago. The blockbuster du jour was The Andromeda Strand, a film based on a new kind of biomedical thriller that depicted a plague of extraterrestrial origins. The film, directed by Robert Weiss of The Sound of Music fame, would in time be hailed by the Infectious Disease Society of America as the most significant, scientifically accurate, and prototypic of all films of this genre. The genre itself had effectively been invented 2 years earlier by a young medical school student by the name of Michael Crichton, whose first novel, The Andromeda Strand, in 1969, served as the film's source material and told the story of a military satellite descending to Earth carrying a bug from space that, according to a full-page ad in the New York Times, caused the world's first space-age biological emergency. Now I have to stop and say, how does a movie cause a biological emergency? I have to ask myself that question, because it has to have some truths to it for it to cause an emergency. It says selling more than 2 million copies when it was first released, The Andromeda Strand drew the American public's attention from the imminent prospect of atomic apocalypse to a new realm of potential biological catastrophe. Crichton credited the idea for the novel to a comment made by a paleontologist, G.G. Simpson, about airborne microorganisms high in the Earth's atmosphere. Crichton's distinctive narrative style depended on verisimilitude multitude and on what Jonah Radin has called authenticating detail ripped from leading academic scholarship. Providing reports from the near future of technology that often blurred the lines between fiction and reality, even as they blurred the lines between exobiological concerns and the engineering of biology. Speculations about containment, contamination, and colonization were widespread in the 1960s and the 1970s in the scientific circles concerned with exobiology, evolutionary biology, and the new prospects for the molecular engineering of biology, as these fields invoked a shared language of breaching barriers, evolutionary barriers, species barriers, safety barriers, and containment barriers. While exobiologists raised the prospects of interplanetary quarantines, biologists concerned with more terrestrial patterns of invasion biology and the genetics of colonizing species gather a isolomer in 1965, a decade before the famous Pandora's Box Congress meeting on the recombinant DNA to discuss what they called the alien habitats of invading species. So are they telling us back then that they knew about different species in outer space?
Sound like he was writing about what they were doing or what they were involved in.
Yeah, and
you said
and
he
this
was a doctor, right?
Yeah, he was a doctor. He was a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And these are actual events that took place. So it says the dominance of a hyper-virulent strains and whether such infections would take. The concern was clear, how to forestall biological missteps, whether intentional or unintentional. The Andromeda strain entered into the dynamic ecosystem, weaving together concerns over planetary protection and earthly decisions about laboratory biocontainment strategies. Although entirely fictional, the narrative described in the book and subsequent film would come to play a central role in the construction of a new contested futures of molecular biology. As Christian's story began to infect discussions of the potential biohazards of recombinant DNA, journalists struggled to describe the possibilities and the risks of newly available engineering techniques and often turned to the fictional microbe to capture the issues at stake. The day after the famous 1975 Asilomer Conference on the recombinant DNA concluded, the Boston Globe trumpeted scientists to resume risky work on genes, danger of Andromeda strain posed. Many biologists, including Asilomer co-organizers Norton Singer, Paul Berg, Maxine Singer, and Sidney Brenner, and later others on the National Institute of Health Recombinant DNA Advisory Committee, sought to counter such sensationalist coverage as molecular politics, distracted from actual engineering futures for biology and conflating sober assessments of risk with speculative science fiction scenarios. Andromeda inspired fears about genetic engineering were themselves the emerging disease of concern in many scientists' opinions. Within a few years, as debates over appropriate laboratory biocontainment strategies for newly engineered organisms proceeded, the Andromeda strain would be repeatedly invoked, intruding even into the conversations on Capitol Hill. So you're telling me now they're talking about something in a supposed fictional novel? They're talking about it on Capitol Hill now? Wow. At some Senate hearing on the proposed regulation of recombinant DNA research, Oliver Smithies, a former president of the Genetic Societies of America, began his remarks by noting, "I think we are here because of a very popular modern science fiction novel by Michael Crichton, The Andromeda Strain." After pointedly correcting Smythe's testimony, which had referred to an outbreak of a plague in New Mexico, Harrison Jack Schmidt, a senior senator from New Mexico and former astronaut, invoked his own literary interpretation of Christian's tale about a pathogen from space landing in the American Southwest to suggest the lessons of fiction and the likely outcome of a real-world Andromeda strain scenario. Another hearing, the Secretary of the U.S. Department of Health, Education, and Welfare referenced the possible emergence of an Andromeda-like pathogen as the appropriate context for considering strict guidelines in the conduct of recombinant DNA research. That's really funny. They said they had the correct testimony. He spilled the beans on something?
Mm-hmm. I don't like it.
From the very beginning, and I have to point this out too. I'm sure some of you, some of our family may have heard some of the recent reports of sightings of pyramid-shaped, unidentified spacecraft. Have you heard about that, Bev?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I heard about it.
So all this time later, now they're telling us about it, it sounds like they may have known about this stuff way before. And it have gotten exposed to a fictional book. From the very beginning, the exploration of risk scenarios involving recombinant DNA was an act of both science and science fiction. And the tension was clear. The risk of biological escape and the potential biohazards of newly engineered forms of life were scientifically grounded possibilities worth considering. But it was still useful to distinguish such speculations from sensationalism, even as the Andromeda strand became fully enfolded into public representations of genetic engineering, its blurry continuum between fact and fiction, the stylistic move at the heart of Crichton's success made it difficult to classify concerns about the potential hazard of recombinant DNA as either serious or a source of unsubstantiated fears, infuriating many molecular biologists. I'm going to pause there, and I'm going to note this. There are actually studies on the recombinant DNA that were concluded actually like last year. And guess what they named it? The study.
What? What's the study?
The Andromeda study.
Hmm. Very no coincidence.
No coincidence. And we're going to definitely dive in a little deeper, but I just want to definitely present some of the articles and just highlight this movie because I think it's really revealing some of what we may be dealing with here. And it'll help us to ask some very important questions instead of just going along and being compliant. And instead of saying, mm-hmm. let me look at this research and find out what this COVID virus really is and what this vaccine, aka, or is it a gene therapy, or a gene therapy, I should say, really mm-hmm. is doing. What is it really
right.
doing? Is it really helping us? Or is it altering us? That's the question.
That's what I think. Yeah.
Yeah, and once when people get a chance to watch the movie, they'll see some of the things that happened. It made people crazy. And one of the things that stood out to me when I watched it was something that Brother Robert X mentioned, which was the prion or the mad cow disease. And there's a direct link between prion and COVID. So the people in the movie were going mad and doing crazy stuff as well. So I'm going to continue on the article. It says, as Andromeda echoes persisted in debates about overly complicated biomedical laboratory design, so-called Andromeda design syndrome, the story even came to infect liability discussions at the top-ranking research universities. Okay, so they're talking about liability already? They don't want to be liable? That sounds just like somebody passed an emergency executive order to allow these vaccines to be distributed out to people, and it doesn't have full FDA approval. Is that
right.
waiving liability if something happens down the road and we find out this thing did more damage or altered us and changed us into something that we didn't want to become? Now, I'm just speculating based on this article and the movie and the fact that they saying in this article that it mixes real science with science fiction. But the question is this real science fiction, or are we really seeing it playing out as real science today?
And usually they put real science in science fiction. That's how they give it to us.
Mm-hmm. We know how Madea does. They have to tell the truth.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to violate the laws of the universe.
Yeah.
Okay, so it goes on to say, one internal memo from Stanford University's Office of Technology Licensing titled The Technology and the Threat titled The Technology. Let me read that again. One internal memo from Stanford. Here we go, Stanford University again. Mm-hmm. Stanford University's Office of Technology Licensing, titled The Technology and the Threat, described the appropriate use of licensing to inhibit scientists from conducting research that might result in an Andromeda strain being unleashed upon the world. Well, in the movie, the Andromeda strain, that's exactly what happened. Somebody got a hold of it in the community that was set up to contain this. And the scientists ended up opening it like a Pandora's box, and it caused people to start dropping like flies. Some people to go crazy first, do crazy things, and start dropping like flies. The article goes on.
Isn't that the same thing that... Okay, go ahead.
Go ahead.
I'll talk afterwards. No, go ahead with the article.
Okay, but you sound like you had a pertinent question or a pertinent comment.
Well, didn't they say almost the exact same thing when the virus first came out? Say it was here in the United States, and they stopped the research, and then they sent it to Canada, and then that's when China got hold of it. So it was almost the same thing that they said that happened, that they said in the movie.
Yeah, but you're exactly correct. Unfortunately, the media propagated a whole nother narrative using Trump.
Yeah, they trying to get him out.
Exactly. And it seemed like they forced his hand to say China virus, China virus, China virus.
Mm-hmm.
So at that point, he was going off what the scientists said, because the media was already portraying him as not wanting to follow science.
Mm-hmm.
So you're absolutely correct. So I think we really have to pay attention to the fact that what mainstream media is telling us may just be fitting a narrative. What position are they really playing? Because if we really know how the media works, a lot of them post articles from the AP, from the Associated Press. It's kind of like a monopoly. And the only time you can get authentic news in some circles is through alternative news or the local news.
Right.
So the article goes on to say, I'm going to just repeat this. One internal memo from the Stanford University's Office of Technology Licensing, titled The Technology and the Threat, described the appropriate use of licensing to inhibit scientists from conducting research that might result in an Andromeda strain being unleashed upon the world. Science fiction possibilities and scientific futures, not to mention legal and reputational liabilities, were difficult to disentangle when it came to the engineering of life at the molecular level. That causes me to ask some questions. But I'll wait to ask those questions until we dive it deeper into the research. The article also goes on to say, in a retrospective published in 1995, Berg and Singer concluded that after 20 years of research and risk assessment, most recombinant DNA experiments are today unregulated. The fear of Andromeda strains has disappeared. And according to science, in 2000, the technology that seemed like science fiction in 1975 is now commonplace. Okay, are they telling us that they deliberately, after having all these hearings, chose not to regulate it? Is that what this is saying? It says the Andromeda-inspired fears has clearly receded by the dawn of the new millennium, replaced perhaps for the next generation by new visions of biological possibility a la Crichton's Jurassic Park. Hold up. Did he write Jurassic Park? Is this what it's telling us? He did. What was Jurassic Park all about? Deb experimented with the DNA. Go ahead.
Wow. Yeah, you're right. I'm just listening. It's a very strong connection there. It's the same story.
Same story. And to go on, as the Jurassic Park movie, what do they call that, series or enterprise or whatever, all those movies, and the later movies, they started mixing, they started slicing and mixing species, which created a species that they couldn't control.
Yeah.
I wonder if that has anything to do with what's going on today. Let's continue on. See. Still, for some virologists, the Andromeda strand highlighted important concerns. Virologist Cedric Mims, for example, noted in 1995 that a hypothetical Andromeda strain causing a virulent human pandemic would depend on its transmissibility. And transmissibility is a neglected subject in microbiology. A virulent human pandemic will not always be hypothetical. However, let me repeat that. A virulent human pandemic would not always be hypothetical, however. So when they're telling us that this thing can be, that we need to wash our hands and stand 6 feet away from people and wear masks, is that part of this? What could be more bone-chilling than a seemingly out-of-control virus leaping from region to region around the globe without a known vaccine to prevent it or slow it down, causing death and economic mayhem along the way, wrote William Cohen in the New York Times at the start of the COVID-19 pandemic in March 2020. Here we go. Here's the devil in the details. The coronavirus narrative, Cohen continued, has the texture and feel of the Andromeda strand come to life. Okay, enough said right there.
Right.
Did you have any comments, Beverly?
No, I just said right. I mean, wow. He's telling
it, it pretty much, it speaks for itself. But I'll just add a little commentary just to keep us in focus.
Okay.
In mid-May, as American deaths due to COVID-19 neared 100,000, New Yorker film critic Anthony Lane offered contemporary artists a fresh perspective on the Andromeda strand, which contained what Lane called the most alarming thing I've come across in this trade-off between the real and the imagined. In an eerie presage of our present predicament, he described an exchange in the film when the experts' concerns are relayed to the White House. By then, and this is going back to the movie, by then the disease spread into a worldwide epidemic. It's because of rash statements like that the president doesn't trust scientists. That's what was said in the movie. Didn't that actually play out in real life?
Yeah.
That's a little too close to that's a little too close to the bone, I reckon, Lane remarked. But he felt the film captured how harshly politics and medicine can scrape against each other whenever peril impends, just as science and science fiction can. Critiques of the Andromedan fantasies at the time of the Asylomer were attempts to address the ways in which fictional narratives were seen by some scientists as the sensationalism in the service of fear-mongering. The concern then was hype. Ours today arguably is hoax. But this divisive and difficult dynamics are familiar. When narratives can have life or death consequences, which speculative futures come to be authorized as scientific and appropriate, cautious, and which are rendered fictional or fake, in a moment when the interpretation of evidence has been compromised such that large numbers of Americans deny the severity or even the very existence of the pandemic, the states are all too real. Doesn't that sound like if you don't wear the mask, you're supposed to be wearing a mask and so that you can protect other people?
Right.
You need to be doing it. You need to be doing it for other people. You don't need to be selfish. Is that social engineering? Over the past year, we have become familiar with the challenge. And I have to stop there because we had obviously had people outside of just, you know, people who wasn't following it. And I have to say this. It appeared to be people of European descent. They were not following this. Were they privy to this information? So it makes sense in why they would have some discretions about following the instructions, especially when clearly if you are breathing in your carbon dioxide, if you're breathing that back in because of the mask, that could potentially activate the autoimmune system.
Yeah.
Your system starts shutting down. You're not getting enough oxygen. What's going to happen to your cells? So it made sense to me why people were concerned about wearing masks and walking around all day wearing masks, being at work wearing masks, being at school wearing masks. It poses a health threat. So over the past year, go ahead. Go ahead, Beth.
No, as I said once before, you know, I kind of did my own little research. When I was in the city, everybody was wearing masks. They was wearing masks driving inside their car by themselves, you know. But then when I went out to the suburbs, nobody was wearing masks. And when especially in the beginning, they told us to stay inside. When you're in the city, it wasn't hardly nobody on the streets. When you went out in the suburbs, they were sitting on their grass. They had the baby, the blanket with the baby and them on the mother and the baby was on the grass. I saw people riding their bike. I mean, it was totally opposite than what was going on in the city.
You are absolutely right. Because I was in the DMV. I was in the DC metropolitan area. I was actually working for Amazon, helping them open up their Crystal City location, believe it or not.
Okay.
So it was funny. You're definitely accurate because I came, I relocated to North Carolina, and when I was traveling through Virginia in the suburbs and the country parts, even though it was mandatory or they were recommending that people wear it, they were in some places and mandatory in others. When I got to certain rural areas or country type areas, suburban areas, like you said, they were not wearing masks, and nobody was complaining about it. Nobody was putting them out of the store, calling the police, but it was going on in the cities. And in the metropolitan areas, I don't want to make this – and who lives in most of the metropolitan areas? What ethnic demographic lives in most metropolitan areas?
We do, and we have the most people sickest in Michigan – are people of color. We are.
Oh, we're going to get into this research because there's a direct connection between what is the spike protein that they say that the coronavirus is. What is that really?
Okay.
Because the prion can take on like a spike protein, but it attacks the tissues. There's also another spike protein called melanoma, which is in the blood. Guess what ethnic demographic is more susceptible or has been more impacted by that? The myeloma, which is the blood plasma cancer or cancer of the blood plasma.
Wow.
Which ethnic group? Exactly.
Blacks, African American, whatever you want. Yeah, wow.
So we're not speculating. We're actually just stating the facts, and we'll get to that research because there's plenty of information out there, and there's some direct connections between or synchronicities in how this thing appears to be functioning and what it appears. When I say how this thing, I'm talking about the vaccine, because a vaccine introduces what into your system?
They put the germ in you, don't they?
You got it. You got it. And they say so that it replicates. But we'll get to that. That's in the next article. I don't want to do too much. I don't want people to think I'm speculating. I'm only citing information from credible research, things straight out of research journals. What do they say about a certain ethnic demographic? If you don't want them to know something, you put it in the what?
Put it in a book. Write it down.
Or in the case of a journal, put it in there and put a price tag on it just in case some of the people in that demographic get too much money and can afford to pay for the information. Welcome to my world. Okay, so I'm going to finish up. This is the last part of it. Over the past year, we have become familiar with the challenge of ensuing a shared collective understanding and response to a rampaging microbe and the hard societal work required to sustain mutually agreed upon futures in the midst of a pandemic. Contemporary debates over what is permissible and impermissible, a theory or a conspiracy theory, and the contested terrain of speculative futures and their long afterlives suggest that the ways in which even fictions circulate can reveal important truths. As you said, Bev, as Operation Warp Speed hastens us into a vaccinated future, our most amazing cutting-edge science of vaccine development is both wrapped up with legacies of science fiction and also blessedly very real. A better understanding of the intertwined histories of scientific models and science fiction novels makes time a telling tincture. There's an editor's note, and in that note it says, this essay is derived from the George Sarton Memorial Lecture entitled Pandora's Pandemic, Infectious Futures at the Dawn of Genetic Engineering, delivered by Luis Campos at the 2021 American Association for the Advancement of Sciences annual meeting. A more detailed account with references is available in the Strains of Andromeda section. That's very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So this article was on it. It was so on it that I know from being trained in various different research disciplines, the most important part of a journal article is actually not the actual content in the actual article, but the references, what it's referencing. And there was an article there by H.G. Baker entitled The Genetics of Colonizing Species. And we're going to get to that one very soon, if not in another call, because we got some other things to clear up.
Okay.
But we're going to move onto kind of diving into the vaccine, more specifically the Pfizer BioNTech vaccine. And as we may know, there's been a lot of speculation or talk in the media about proteins being coded in order to create the vaccine. When we're talking about coding something, we're talking about computers, basically. Our body actually functions as a computer. It's the original computer. It's the universal computer. So I think it's appropriate to look at this through that lens, the lens of technology. So this next article that I'm going to read is called Reverse Engineering, the Source Code of the BioNTech Pfizer SARS-CoV-2 Vaccine. This article was posted on December 25th, 2020, and it's by Bert Hebert, an entrepreneur and software developer. In this post, we'll be taking a character-by-character look at the source code of the BioNTech, Pfizer, SARS, COVID-2, mRNA vaccine. I'm going to pause there and take a quick break, just to allow people to get some water, because I know this has been, you know, we're going to dive into the information, and there's going to be a lot of different terms and all that used. We should not be turned off by that, because dictionaries, we have etymology dictionaries, we have so much information, because we're living in the information age. And just because they decide to use they decide to use terms that are terms of art that are specific to the industry, doesn't mean that we can't understand it by getting a daggone dictionary. So anytime we read these articles, we should be, anytime we run into something we don't know about, we should be honest and ask ourselves a question and notate that and then look that up. It may take us longer and it may require more work, but it's worth it, because we can break down and understand this stuff like it's regular layman's terms, like it's a coloring book, like it's a children's book. But we've been convinced that we can't understand it if we don't have a certain degree, or if we're not a doctor, or if we don't specialize in that area. That's just propaganda. But Bev, if possible, if we could take a quick break.
Yes. We can take a 3-minute break and I'll play some music, and we can go get us some coffee, tea, or whatever. We'll be back in 3 or 4 minutes.
Oh, I come lose the life, so lost,
I'm different.
I'm the prayer. My life is not the same.
I'm different.
God saved me again, so young they gone away.
I'm different.
I'm the prayer. My life is not the same.
I'm different.
I'm possessed by a soul I can't explain.
Nephew, I can't be nothing but myself. That's how I'ma get a platinum record on the show.
That's right.
I don't gotta worry about anybody else.
That's true.
They on the wrong road, they on the way to hell.
So?
He tell me not to fall in the trap, it's the rest of it. If I say it this way, something already said.
True.
But I'm hard-headed like a shell-shocked warrior. Knowing the bigger it gets, the less the apophia.
What?
The problem is my mind is narrow like the Simmons chair. Devil trying to lead me astray with his wicked dance. So I veer off the path of the globe.
Woo!
And take deep breaths, not to fracture the flow.
Good.
100% of me beating on your eardrums, so you'll never be what I see in the mirror.
No.
See, it's a copyright on my personality, and nothing's more raw than my idiom accuracy. Different.
I'm the prayer. My life is not the same.
I'm different.
God save me again. So young they gone away.
I'm different.
I'm the prayer. My life is not the same.
I'm different.
I'm a
If you lie to nobody, then you lie to yourself. Your conscience gonna destroy your ass.
Uncle, you're right. The truth will always come to the light. Don't lose sight. Realize there's never nothing to hide.
Just the other day, I tried to use self-electric flame. Now I need to pay.
I choose the right, they choose the left. My direction sets me apart, so watch my step. At the fork in the road, I set in my goals, so I can choose my path without following the mold.
Tell me what you see, are you ready to go feed the Almighty?
I will tell you now, people prepare yourself, stop. You don't want to meet your paper with no death.
We're back, and you're listening to the Truth to Power show, and I'm Beverly, and we have with us tonight Mr. McDowell. Are you back, Mr. McDowell?
Yes, I am, Ms. Beverly.
Okay.
And hopefully
very
we got our war.
Interesting information.
Thank you very much. Okay. And it gets even interesting. Okay, so we're going to, hopefully everybody had a chance to get their water. And if you want to get paper and pen, that may be appropriate as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned from Dr. Jewel Pookrum that we should always drink plenty of water when we're taking in information.
Yeah, okay.
Because information can be encoded in the water as it goes into our body.
That's true.
Okay. So the this next article, we're going to get into, we're going to talk things, we're going to, you know, you may have heard of Ebonics, but we're going to talk electronics. This
All
next
right.
article, again, is entitled Reverse Engineering the Source Code of the BioNTech Pfizer SARS-CoV-2 Vaccine. And again, this article was posted on December 25th, 2020, and it's by Bert Hubert, an entrepreneur and software developer. So it goes on to say, in this post, we'll be taking a character-by-character look at the source code of the BioNTech Pfizer SARS-CoV-2 mRNA vaccine. Now, these words may be something jarring. The vaccine is a liquid that gets injected in your arm. How can we talk about source code? This is a good question. So let's start off with a small part of the very source code of BioNTech Pfizer vaccine, also known as BNT162B2, also known as tozinamarin, also known as let me just spell it, COMIRNATY. So again, it's BNT162B2 is also known as TOZINAMERAN, also known as COMIRNATY. So I did some digging just to find out what that actually was. And it says that the tozinamarin is a nucleoside modified mRNA or mod or messenger RNA vaccine encoding an optimized full-length version of the severe acute respiratory syndrome coronavirus 2. Also known as SARS-CoV-2 spike protein. It is designed to induce immunity against the SARS-CoV-2, the virus responsible for causing COVID-19. The mod RNA is formulated in lipid nanoparticles for administration via intramuscular injection in two doses. Basically, they shooting you up, they jabbing you, as they call it, in the arm twice. So the BNT162B2 mRNA vaccine has a digital code at its heart. It is 4,284 characters long, so it would fit in a bunch of tweets. At the very beginning, now note that, so it would fit in a bunch of tweets. At the very beginning of the vaccine production process, someone uploaded this code to a DNA printer, yes, which then converted the bytes on disk to actual DNA molecules. Out of such a machine comes tiny amounts of DNA, which after a lot of biological and chemical processing end up as RNA, more about which later. In the vaccine vial. A 30 microgram dose turns out to actually contain 30 micrograms of RNA. In addition, there is a clever lipid or fatty acid packaging system that gets the mRNA into our cells. RNA is a volatile working memory version of DNA. DNA is like the flash drive storage of biology. DNA is very durable, internally redundant, and very reliable. But much like computers do not execute code directly from a flash drive before something happens, code gets copied to a faster, more versatile, yet far more fragile system. For computers, this is RAM. For biology, it is RNA. The resemblance is striking. Unlike flash memory, RAM degrades very quickly unless lovingly tended to. The reason the Pfizer biotech mRNA vaccine must be stored in the deepest of deep freezers is the same. RNA is a fragile flower. It says DNA is a digital code. Let me stop there. It says RNA is a fragile flower. When I read that, I think of a rose, which is a fragile flower. And I go back to something I said on another show. Could the rose be an answer to this? Let me continue on in this article. It goes on to say, DNA is a digital code. Unlike computers, which use 0 and 1, life uses A, C, G, and U/T. The ACG are the nucleotides, and the UT is the nucleosides or bases. In computers, we store the 0 and the 1 as the presence and absence of a charge, or as a current, as a magnetic transition, or as a voltage, or as a modulation of a signal, or as a change in reflectivity. Or in short, the 0 and the 1 are not some kind of abstract concept. They live as electrons and in many other physical embodiments. In nature, A, C, G, and UT are molecules stored as chains in DNA or RNA. In computers, we group bits into byte. In computers, we group 8 bits into a byte, and the byte is the typical unit of data being processed. Nature groups 3 nucleotides into 1 codon, and this codon is the typical unit of processing. A codon contains 6 bits of information, 2 bits per DNA character. 3 characters equals 6 bits. This means that 2 to the 6th power equals 64 different codon values. Pretty digital so far. When in doubt, head to the World Health Organization document with the digital code to see for yourself. The idea of a vaccine is to teach our immune system how to fight a pathogen without us actually getting ill. Historically, this has been done by injecting a weakened and incapacitated virus plus an adjuvant to scare our immune system into action. This was a decidedly analog technique involving billions of eggs or insects. It has also required a lot of luck and loads of time. Sometimes a different unrelated virus was also used. Why is that? We'll learn more about that later. An mRNA vaccine achieves the same thing, educate our immune system, but in a laser-like way, and I mean this in both senses, very narrow but also very powerful. So here is how it works. The injection contains volatile genetic material that describes the famous SARS-CoV-2 spike protein. A spike protein, for those who may not know, because it doesn't clearly point that out in this article, the spike protein is the sole viral membrane protein responsible for the cell entry. It binds to the receptor on the target cell and mediates subsequent virus cell fusion. Through clever chemical means, the vaccine manages to get the genetic material into some of our cells. These then dutifully start producing SARS-CoV-2 spike proteins in large enough quantities that our immune system springs into action. Confronted with spike proteins, and importantly, telltale signs that cells have been taken over, our immune system develops a powerful response against multiple aspects of the spike protein and the production process. And this is what gets us to the 95% efficient vaccine. So I have to ask a question there. How many cells does it have to invade for it to reach 95% efficiency?
Don't we have billions of cells in our body?
Yes. And once it invades them and starts producing whatever signal or whatever it needs to be able to activate our immune system, what then happens to that particular protein? Or what happens to that cell? But let's continue on in the article. We'll get to the bottom of this, and it'll become clear. Much like you can't just plunk opcodes in a file on a computer and run it, the biological operating system requires headers, has linkers, and things like calling conventions. The code of the vaccine starts with the following two nucleotides, GA. GA are purines. Purines are one of the most common chemical compounds on the planet. There are two kinds of purines, endogenous and exogenous. Exogenous purines are absorbed by the body through the foods that you eat, whereas indigenous purines are made directly by the body itself. The G stands for guanine, or guanine. Actually, I think it's guanine. It's spelled G-U-A-N-I-N-E, and the symbol for it, again, is G. Guanine is one of four chemical bases in DNA, with the other three being adenine, which is what the A stands for. Then there's the C, which is cytosine, now I'm getting tongue-tied, and the T is thymine. Actually, I'm jumping ahead. So let me go back to the article itself. It says guanine is a nitrogenous base that makes up part of the nucleotides in DNA and RNA. But that's not all nucleotides containing guanine. But that's not all. Nucleotides containing guanine can power chemical reactions and are involved in signaling inside the cell. Other forms of guanine can be found in bird droppings and even cosmetics. Why is that, I have to ask? Is that because they're testing it or parts of animals or plants are in there? The article goes on to say, this can be compared very much to every DOS and Windows executable, starting with MZ or Unix scripts, starting with the pound and then the exclamation point. In both life and operating systems, these two characters are not executed in any way. but they have to be there because otherwise nothing happens. They're just markers to tell it, like, to start here. The mRNA cap has a number of functions. For one, it marks code as coming from the nucleus. In our case, of course, it doesn't. Our code comes from a vaccination. But we don't need to tell the cell that. The cap makes our code look legit, which protects it from destruction. The initial two GA nucleotides are also chemically slightly different from the rest of the RNA. In this sense, the GA has some out-of-band signaling on it. Now, what I want to point out, the A, which stands for adenine, is also used elsewhere in the cell, not just in DNA and RNA, but it's part of the molecular adenosine triphosphate, which is the energy source for the cell. So adenine plays a dual role in the cell. It's used for building DNA and RNA, but it's also used at storing energy in the cell.
So some if I understand what you're saying with this, now the G,
okay,
the G C and the T and the G is the G A T. Those are the nucleus of the cells, or are they the ladder? You know, that are they in the nucleus of the cell, or
yes,
they
that's,
just those
that's
strains
what RNA
that's
is
on
meant.
That we call a ladder.
Yes. Yes. The RNA is found in the nucleus of a cell.
Okay. Okay. All right.
So you have in that nucleus you have certain ingredients. You have, and those ingredients are the nucleotides and the nucleosides.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. I just wanted to know what they in the nucleus. Okay. Inside the cells.
Yes. And they categorize some specific ones like guamine and adenine as purines. And purines are one of the most common chemical compounds on the planet. There are two kinds of purines, endogenous and exogenous. Exogenous purines are absorbed by the body through foods that you eat, whereas endogenous purines are made directly by the body itself. So essentially, if we're eating vegetables and all that stuff, they contain that in their RNA. They contain that those purines. So the article, does that answer your question?
Yes, yes.
Okay. So some lingo here, RNA molecules can only be read in one direction. Confusingly, the part where the reading begins is called the five. The five, or five prime. The reading stops at the three, or three prime end. Isn't that funny how it's called the prime? Or the five prime, and we focused on the five earlier during our meditation.
Yeah.
Life
in the 5 year, and today. Wait a minute. Today is the five, five, five day.
Wow.
The fifth month, the fifth day, the fifth year,
and that equals the six. We're going to go on, but I think we're on the same page. Life consists of proteins, or things made of proteins. And these proteins are described in RNA. When RNA gets converted into proteins, this is called translation. Here we have the five untranslated regions, which is a UTR. So this bit does not end up in the protein. So why is it there if it doesn't end up in the protein, I ask? And for those of you who want to know what the UTR stand for, here it is. The U stand, or the T, actually, I'll come back to that because I have to pull it. I'll come back to that. So here we encounter our first surprise. The normal RNA characters are A, C, G, and U. U is also known as T in DNA. But here we find a funny symbol. It looks like a, it looks almost like a trident, but without the crossing T, without the T at the bottom, which forms a cross. What's going on? The article says. So it says this one of the exceptional clever bits about the vaccine. Our body runs a powerful antivirus system, the original one. For this reason, cells are extremely unenthusiastic about foreign RNA and try very hard to destroy it before it does anything. This is somewhat of a problem for our vaccine. It needs to sneak past our immune system. Why does it have to sneak past our immune system?
So it won't get attacked.
But
our army.
If it contains the virus, and then just me asking a question, but if it contains the virus protein and it'll be attacked, why won't our immune system attack the virus without the vaccine? Could that be why some people are asymptomatic? I'm asking. So that's the question that I'll come back to. Maybe if we do more shows later on this month, we'll be able to come back to that question because I think that's a definite pertinent question.
Yeah.
It says, over many years of experimentation, it was found that if the U in RNA is replaced by a slightly modified molecule, our immune system loses interest. For real. What is a modified? What is that? Is that like GMO'd? It says modified. It goes on to say, so in the BioNTech Pfizer vaccine, every U has been replaced by 1-methyl-3-pseudo-ridellyl, denoted as a symbol that looks like a trident or looks like a U with a line down the middle. The really clever bit is that although this replacement placate calms our immune system, it is accepted as a normal U by relevant parts of the cell. In computer security, we also know this trick. It sometimes is possible to transmit a slightly corrupted version of a message that confuses firewalls and security solutions, but that is still accepted by the back-end servers, which can then get hacked. So what are they telling us? This thing goes in through the back-end, but through the way that it goes in, it can also be hacked? Or should I say, is it telling us that that particular ingredient can actually be hacked? What is it telling us here? So this article doesn't really cover that. It goes on to say, we are now reaping the benefits of fundamental scientific research performed in the past. The discoverers of this technique had to fight to get their work funded and then accepted. We should all be very grateful, and I am sure that the Nobel Prizes will arrive in due course. The crazy thing, I'm going to stop here in this article because I want to touch on this particular element, which is the U that's been replaced, the U in the RNA codon that's been replaced by some type of symbol that's supposed to calm our immune system and allow the cell to be penetrated by the actual vaccine itself. So the article I'm going to reference, because what I did is I searched for the actual name of that symbol, but I couldn't find much information. But I did run into a post that did give me some additional information. And it speaks in regards to this article that we're reading today. But first, Bev, did you have any questions or anything or comments?
No, I'm just trying to keep up. Now,
okay.
You say
okay.
The U replaced it, the T, that, you know, the CGAT that's in the cells. You said the U replaced the T part of it.
Correct.
And now the U is being replaced by a symbol?
Correct.
Hmm.
And it's something, and we'll get more information on this next article that is actually a follow-up to this article. It's called pseudo-ridylyl, not pseudo-ridine. So it's spelled P-S-E-U-D-O-U-R-I-D-Y-L-Y-L, not pseudo-ridine. And that's spelled P-S-E-U-D-O-U-R-I-D-I-N-E. So what it's going to tell us here is that this symbol, which has replaced something that's typically in the codon, typically in the RNA, it's been replaced by something else, which we can't find, which has been replaced by something else. So it's supposed to be one thing, but it's actually something else. So Bert Hubert recently published reverse engineering the source code of the BioNTech Pfizer SARS-CoV-2 vaccine. And I, along with the rest of the internet, loved it. It provided clear review of Pfizer's mRNA vaccine written for a software engineering audience. Given my previous synthetic biology experience, I was excited to read about how their vaccine actually worked. Bert linked to a document by the World Health Organization containing the genetic sequence of the mRNA. In that sequence, the symbol, which looks like a trident without the T at the bottom, represents 1-methyl-3-pseudodialyl. Bert explained that this was a clever substitution to help the mRNA escape our immune system's detection. He also linked to a tweet about Carrico and Weissmer's, which implied that they had discovered that particular thing, that particular technology, or that particular method or ingredient. I was fascinated. I'd never heard of that symbol before. Digging a little deeper, I realized that the symbolic representation had confused me, and maybe other folks were confused too. I know I was. Carrico and Weissmer published a lot of papers about pseudo-ridine, which they denoted as the same symbol, replacing the uracil of the pseudo-uridine. And mRNA doses indeed help the mRNA escape our immune system's detection. However, pseudonine is not pseudo-ridyl, which is what they're saying that it is. Looking at the World Health Organization document that Bert linked, the two molecules are structurally similar but definitely not the same. I'm not any good at organic chemistry, but my guess is the extra phosphorus or oxygens are from the sugar phosphate backbone. But what's with the extra methyl group, which are carbons and hydrogens on the nitrogen? My intuition says that's important. So what is the pseudo-rhodyl, which they said that's in there? It says, why did Pfizer choose to use pseudo-rhodyl instead of pseudo-rhodyne? And he's asking this question because that symbol represents the pseudo-rhodyne. I had guessed that it must offer either a biological benefit, increasing effectiveness, or manufacturing a benefit, which is a manufacturing benefit, which means reducing costs. Basically, he's asking, is this a synthetic? Is this a GMO version of what it's actually supposed to be? That's kind of like you have over-the-counter. You may have an over-the-counter version of something, and then you may have a prescribed
right.
version of it, and they have different names.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, this confuses me, and this makes me feel like other people feel discouraged to get it because I don't even understand it. And the people that specialize in it don't even understand it. They have questions. So I have to ask myself, what is this, and what is it actually doing? So what I want to do is I want to look into that symbol because to me that symbol says so much because it looks like a trident. It doesn't look like something. It doesn't look like the rest of it. It's not an alphabet. What is it? Why does it look Greek? What does it really mean? What is it really doing? So, when we take a look at it, and again, I'm going to spell it out so that people can look it up and see this particular symbol. Again, it's spelled P-S-E-U-D-O-U-R-I-D-Y-L-Y-L. I'm going to spell it again. P-S-E-U. D-O-U-R-I-D-Y-L-Y-L. And it has a symbol, and it's denoted by a symbol that looks like a trident. So that's when we come full circle. That's when we come back around in the cipher and to the Andromeda and the connection to it. Who was Andromeda? Bev, do you know who Andromeda is?
I don't think so. Tell me.
Well, the gentleman who came on the show, on Robert X's show, On the Square, Part 2, he
okay.
came on after me, and he pointed out something that was just so on point. He mentioned Cephas and
mm-hmm.
The king of Ethiopia, and he had a daughter, and her name was Andromeda.
Mm. Yeah.
So something happened to Andromeda, and I'm going to tell you the story.
Okay,
Andromeda. Go ahead.
No, I say tell us the story. Go ahead, because I don't
okay.
know it.
So this is Greek myth. This is Greek mythology, and this is from Britannica Encyclopedia. It says Andromeda in Greek mythology, beautiful daughter of King Cephas and Queen Cassiope of Joppa in Palestine, called Ethiopia, a wife of Perseus. Now I love reading, and I'm gonna stop here real quick. I love reading Encyclopedia Britannica because it always drops information that you didn't expect because it's so dated. But here it's telling us that Palestine, is it telling us that Palestine was Ethiopia? But we'll come back to that. But that's a question I had when I read this. But again, I'll repeat it. It says Andromeda in Greek mythology was the beautiful daughter of King Cephas and Queen Cassiope of Joppa in Palestine, also called Ethiopia, and wife of Perseus. Cassiope offended the Nereids by boasting that Andromeda was more beautiful than they. So in revenge, Poseidon sent a sea monster to devastate Cephas's kingdom. Now, Poseidon, do you know who Poseidon is? Babe, do you recall who Poseidon was?
No.
Poseidon was the god of the sea. He held the trident, the same symbol that this new base in the RNA has been replaced. This what the U and the T has been replaced with. Does that make sense?
His symbol? Is that what you're saying? His symbol? Is that the symbol?
Yes.
Say that again.
Yes.
Okay.
The symbol. Okay, so Poseidon had a trident, which he wielded his power with. So the symbol in the actual RNA, in the mRNA codon that replaced the original symbol that should be there, which is the U and the T, it looks just like, that symbol looks just like the trident, but without the cross at the bottom. So for me, that's a connection.
Okay.
That's a synchronicity. So it says, since only Andromeda's sacrifice would appease the gods, she was chained to a rock and left to be devoured by the monster. Perseus flew by on the winged horse Pegasus, fell in love with Andromeda, and asked Cephas for her hand. Cephas agreed, and Perseus slew the monster. And their marriage feast, however, Andromeda's uncle, Phineas, to whom she had originally been promised, tried to claim her. Perseus turned him to a stone with Medusa's head. Andromeda bore Perseus 6 sons and a daughter. It says Poseidon also represents the planet Neptune, or is associated with the planet Neptune. The symbol for Neptune looks just like the same symbol that they replaced in that they used to replace the original part of the RNA that we talked about. So what I then is I looked up what that symbol, what the Neptune symbol meant, what the trident symbol meant. And to me, it gave me more information into what that actual information in the RNA, the base information of the RNA may actually be communicating. It says the Neptune symbol is about the only thing straightforward about the subject of Neptune. The cross at the lower end of the symbol is symbolic of matter, the root of things, the crux of nature. That cross is a stabilizer among the potentially erratic energies of energies Neptune represents. So if you take away that cross, it destabilizes the power, the energies, right?
So Neptune, Neptune is like a U with a cross in it.
Yes, or let's think of it as a U with a straight line down the middle separating the U into half. That's what the symbol looks like, I should say.
Yeah.
The Neptune trident, and excuse me, you were correct. The Neptune trident is the U shape with a line down the middle separating the U mm-hmm. into two parts. But at the bottom, mm-hmm. under the U, is a horizontal line
mm-hmm.
and forms a cross. And it says it represents that lower end. It says that the cross at the lower end of the symbol is symbolic of matter, the root of things,
okay.
the roots of nature. That cross is a stabilizer among the potentially erratic energies Neptune can represent. The three-pronged
okay.
pitchfork on the top of the Neptune symbol represents a trident, commonly thought to represent Neptune, the god of waters, which is Poseidon in Greek, if you prefer. So that's the connection to the Andromeda. Mm-hmm. So that tells
okay.
me that this, that more is going on, more maybe, so it forces me to ask the question, is more going on in this mRNA than what's being told to us? And is that why people
Definitely.
Who specialize and this don't understand why the symbol, which is supposed to represent one thing, actually doesn't represent that and represents something else. In essence, they're not able to go check and see what it really is. So we don't
wow.
know where it comes from. So the fact that this all connects back to the initial article, which was based on the movie, what? The Andromeda Strand. And in that first article, they let us know that there's a thin line between fiction and nonfiction. And in this case,
mm-hmm.
science and nonfiction.
Wait, hold it right there. I want to let
okay.
the people know that if you want to continue to hear us, call in for the last hour, 323-642-1586, and you can hear us on the phone. And we will continue this next Wednesday if you're available at that time. We'll continue
Absolutely.
This because this is too much information here. And this is really between your research and Dr. Robert X's research. I mean, we really know what's going on. We put this puzzle together. So call in and listen to the rest of the show on the online. And we'll be back next Wednesday with more information. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so just to wrap up, it says, not so commonly known is the trident of Neptune symbol also represents threefold essence of nature. Empirically speaking, this threefold essence is comprised of becoming, being, and passing away.
Hmm.
Again, it's emphatically speaking, this threefold essence is comprised of becoming, being, and passing away. Other threefold meanings offered by the Neptune symbol trident include birth, life, and death, mind, body, and spirit, past, present, and future. These aspects of the Neptune symbol give us a glimpse at how diverse and expansive this energy is. Now, what is the base and the RNA, the messenger RNA, what does it do? Doesn't it a base help to stabilize something?
Mm-hmm.
Just in human terms, exactly.
It's like the legs would be the base for the table or the chair, wouldn't it? Because it supported, it holds it up. Is that what
you got it.
About?
Yes.
Okay.
It says the god Neptune was born from the union between Saturn, also known as Cronus in Greek, and Rhea, Ops, which is also known as Ops in Greek. Neptune had a tough childhood considering his father ate him. In fact, Saturn swallowed up all his children whole so as to control any possibility of usurping his ruling status. Now, what does Saturn represent? And mythology.
You're talking about what sign?
Oh, I don't know.
I never looked at mythology.
Okay, well, if we compare it to religion, there's a sign that the Pope carries when during different rituals, and I have to find out what that ritual is. But the symbol is the symbol of Saturn. So Saturn follows his children. Sound like Saturn is a good God if he swallowed his children?
Don't sound like it.
Okay. And I'm touching on some of this stuff because I'm hoping that Brother Robert X will touch on it and kind of bring the esoteric part of it a little bit more into focus.
But you know what? The Saturn symbol, it kind of, well, I mean, it don't resemble, but it's like it's got, now the T is turned upside down, and it's like a T, a H with a T on it.
You got it. Absolutely. Well, we'll save that part for the next one, but I'm going to finish this article because it speaks for itself. And once we all connect the esoteric in with the occult and all this science, then it'll become much clearer because I can see it. But as far as explaining it, I don't want to
right.
I don't want to give too. I don't want to just vomit in the mouth with information because we have to connect this. And when you learn certain research disciplines, it's all about following the synchronicities and looking up things and finding those synchronicities and how they relate to the truth. It's kind of like what they call it. When you read the Bible, they say there is a lot of allegory in the Bible, meaning there's a lot of symbols, a lot of hidden meanings.
Yeah.
So you have to dig deep. Yeah. You can't just look at it from a surface level and think that you can understand the truth. So this is the same thing in here in mythology as well as in science, and we find now in biotechnology. So the article goes on to say Neptune dealt with his isolation in the belly of Saturn in dreamy, contemplative ways. He used the time to gain introspective clarity, and this allowed him to fathom the complexities of transformation, specifically over a long period of time. Eventually, Jupiter, who escaped from becoming Saturn's breakfast with a clever ruse hatched by his mother, overthrew Saturn anyway and rescued Neptune, along with his other siblings, from the father's belly. The siblings were divided to rule amongst various parts of the universe, and Neptune was given domain over the waters of the earth. This is quite fitting, as water is symbolic of deeper emotions and dreams. Neptune symbol meaning as well as the symbolism behind the god and the planet Neptune includes dreams, intuition, psychic ability, invention, magic, perception, psychology, philosophy, esotericism, occult, imagination, mysticism, emotion, shadow, and the hidden side of life. With these areas under Neptune's belt, it is no wonder this is such an influential planet. Actually, Neptune is among the four outer planets, so its influence is more generational. are we, if we think of that symbol in the RNA code as representing Neptune, if we look at it as a trident, which represents Neptune, then we have to ask ourselves, is this thing going to work over time? Is it going to affect other generations? If it malfunctions and does something it's not supposed to do? And just the brain.
Can somebody manipulate it?
Mm.
Can somebody come through the back door? Can somebody manipulate it?
Mm. It says the key is to remember the cross in the Neptune symbol, that grounding element of stabilizing matter, the manifestation or end result of the dream state. By keeping ourselves grounded by some dependable means whilst working with the mystic realms of Neptune or illumination is limitless. Let me repeat that. By keeping ourselves grounded by some dependable means whilst working with the mystic realms of Neptune or while working with the mystic realms of Neptune, our illumination is limitless. Astronomically speaking, Neptune rules Pisces along with his brother Jupiter. Depending on where Neptune falls in our astrological chart, you may feel this energy in interesting ways. For example, if Pisces is your sun sign, then dreams, intuition, and psychic ability will be a very matter-of-fact way of life for you. Your powers of observation will likely be at the forefront of your life experience. So I have to say, I have to ask this question. If the base is disturbed, if the foundation of it is disturbed, based on what we just read, would that take the abilities of Pisces away from it?
Hmm.
What is it telling us? Is it transforming?
You know,
remember. Go ahead, go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
No, I was just going to say, you know, we mostly water just like the planet.
Absolutely. It says.
Go ahead with your thought.
Your powers of observation will likely be at the forefront of your life experience, your powers of observation. So if you disturb that, if you throw off the base, you transform it into something else. If you remove a leg from the base, it's going to topple over.
Mm-hmm.
Remember what Lauryn Hill said in the first song?
What she said?
It was the second song
that
she said.
The second one. Okay. No, go ahead. The Jerusalem, the other song.
Yeah, I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm going to come back to that. Let me just finish up on this.
Okay.
And we're going to cover this stuff in the next presentation thoroughly. But we just want to kind of grass over it just to give people a perspective to kind of introduce these concepts and these synchronicities so that they can be able to digest it. And then when we start putting pieces together, it'll be clear. It'll be more evident what's going on. Neptune energy is thought. It says Neptune energy is thought to rule the pineal gland, which is the part of the nervous system that oversees psychic phenomenon.
Mm-hmm.
Higher awareness, visions, a sense of divinity, nirvana, etc. In fact, the pineal gland is of particular interest to occultists and esoteric practitioners for its elevating potential. Hence, the Neptune symbol is often seen in mystical texts as synonymous with such subjects. So, if you disturb it, if you GMO that particular base element of the RNA. Is it telling us here that it's going to disturb your higher awareness? It's going to disturb your pineal glands? What are they doing? So I have to go back, because there's some confusion. Even people that specialize in biochemistry don't even know. They're confused. So if they're confused, what's really going on? Can we ask the question to the people that created this? Bill Gates, what is that symbol? What does it mean? What does that do? So to me, that brings us back to the question at hand. Has biotechnology and artificial intelligence positioned itself to be the savior of humanity or the destroyer so that it can create a new, more compliant cyborg species? And for those of you who saw cyborg spell weird, where there's uppercase letters all throughout the word, there's a reason for that. It connects to a chemical substance, to part of the Andromeda study. And we'll get back more into that, because it connects with myeloma and prions. And unfortunately, a certain ethnic demographic per the National Institute of Health is more adversely affected by it than any other group. More specifically, it said whites. So blacks are more affected by myeloma than whites. That's what the National Institute of Health report said when it related to myeloma. And we'll get into those articles on the next one. So, Bev, if you want to go to the callers,
if you have any questions or comments, push the number one, and you'll show up on the switchboard. Now, before I open the lines up, so do you think that is anything that we can do, just like we are meditating on our, well, we're activating our pineal glands through our meditation. So do you feel like that, you know, is there things that we can do to overpower this invader?
Absolutely. Meditation is key. But in meditating, you touched on it in the last show, Robert X's show, we need to be communicating with ourselves. You remember the Kill Bill movie? You remember Kill Bill?
Yeah, I remember that.
Do you remember the main character, the lady? Remember how she how her foot, something happened to her foot and she couldn't move it or whatever? She was like paralyzed. And remember she kept focusing on it.
It's been a while, but I remember her.
She kept focusing on it until it moved. Well, experience where I was running. And I ran over a piece of slate, and it sliced the bottom of my foot, and it cut into the nerves. And the doctor said it could have, they would have, if it was any worse, they would have had to cut off my foot. But what happened is they was able to put it back together, but I couldn't move. I was numb at the top of my toe. I can't bend my big toe. But I focused and breathed and focused on my foot, and I did a lot of stretching exercises. You can call it yoga. I say ghetto yoga because it came to me naturally. So and the feeling and sensation came back, and I no longer have numbness, and I much more.
And that's what I was saying, too, that you can communicate with your, that your cells are intelligent.
You can. And they actually, the universe, which I call the divine, there are certain entities within the universe that I call them the divine cosmic collective of nine. Prince called them the beautiful one. So And and they communicate. They whisper stuff to you. But you have to calm your mind. You can't have Dr. Jewel Pookham talk about how dangerous and toxic it is to have a lot of beliefs and opinions. Beliefs and opinions are things that have not been, proven a lie or truth. So you shouldn't hold on to those things. You should examine them and determine if they're the truth and then release them. A lot of people live in the past. They live in the past, and they're wishing for things to happen in the present and the future, and they're worrying, and they take on all these beliefs from looking at TV, from being on social media, and those things are weighing you down, and they're producing toxicity in your body. We have to let go of those things. They're not. We need to dismiss them. When somebody wants to present their opinion to you and you ain't asked them nothing, we need to learn how to dismiss it, how to not let it penetrate us. Because it's the vibrational frequency. And it's now allowing us, it's not allowing us to communicate with our cells. The cells are in the underworld. Osiris ruled the what? It was all about cells. That's why he popped up like that. But I don't want to get too ahead of myself. I want to spoon feed it.
Okay. Okay, I'm going to open the lines up. 706-202. 706, do you have your mute on? Is this Kwame?
Brother Kwame?
Okay. Oh, he might have stepped away from the phone. Okay, Kwame, I'll come back to you later. We don't have any more hands raised. I guess you really taking us past arithmetic. You taking us into some trigonometry. And so the people is like, well, we got to grasp this information.
So
but
let me just
again, and, one, and you, go ahead.
It's 11:11 right now on East Coast. So I just want to point that out.
Yes.
So this is important.
Okay.
So we're just going to look at it. People having breakthroughs right now. They enter and they access in higher dimensions of consciousness right now. So we're going to let them teach that process. So I just want to talk about a story because when I worked for that, I'll just say I worked for Thomson Reuters, and I was a writer. I was a researcher and analyst for Thomson Reuters. And I actually had an opportunity to do that. I started out as a researcher, but then when they found out that I knew how to write, they threw that job on me, and I ended up getting opportunities because I was able to get I was able to write articles, write really good articles, and get my name on the byline. Several of the articles were featured on mainstream media, but one in particular, actually two in particular, stood out to me. I got a chance to write about the Affordable Care Act. The Affordable Care Act was, of course, aka Obamacare. This is what sparked me to start searching health stuff, preventative health. And another article that I wrote about was the Horizon oil spill. And what I'm saying is I would go in the bathroom and meditate and ask myself questions to understand what's going on when I'm reading the various different contracts and documents to determine what happened in these situations. Because a lot of times when you're reporting things, you have to dive into corporate documents. And with the Horizon oil spill, when I looked into it, when I looked into all the contracts, I realized that BP had assumed all the liability for a well that they didn't build. Holly Burton built that well, and they ran the actual oil rig. So I had to go ask myself, what is going on here? And it dawned on me that there was something undercut going on here. And when I did more research and I found that there was a vault, there was a, what they call it, a geographical plate or a plate that ran from that, the Gulf, all the way, I think it's the San Andreas, what is it, San Andreas Vault or something like that? I can't recall the exact name of it. But it's a plate that ran all the way across up into the Pacific, all the way to Japan. Not long after that spill, Japan had one of the worst earthquakes. addition to that, and I never got a chance to write about that particular part of it because that wasn't the narrative that they wanted to create. They wanted to stick to the actual transaction and some of the other things. But I said, well, why would BP, which is one of the oldest corporations in the UK, why would they assume liability for something that they had no control over and that they did not build? Was it a front?
Yeah.
Was it the fact that we pay, that our taxes don't go to where we think they go? They actually go overseas to some lady sitting in a castle as tithes. And they knew that if BP took all the liability and paid all the money, they wouldn't be losing out. They would just be giving back money that they collected.
Yeah.
So I asked with this. So anyway, the point of saying all that is that we have to go within. The answers are within. The divine cosmic collective of nine, the Netheru, as they're called in Kemetic science. The Netheru are there. They're talking. They're the laws of the universe. They're speaking and communicating to us. They communicate from within. Our cells have a direct connection to them.
That's right.
Go within, you guys. Go within.
Yes. We do have another caller.
Excellent.
405-5405-568.
You're up.
Peace and love. Can I be heard?
Peace and love. Better love, Brother Mel. Yes, you can be heard.
Better love, Sister Bev and the host. Yes, it is. In fact, the San Andreas fault. It is.
Okay. Brother.
My question is, I was wondering what's your take on this super push for the vaccinations, and what do you think that they're really putting in those vaccinations?
Controllers. And things to keep us from going through our ascension, keeping us from activating our macabres, our crystalline bodies.
Mm-hmm.
Christ body, the Christ consciousness. They know the time. Trump card. We can go to the tarot. The tarot is connected to all this. So, in essence, if it's targeting us, which we're going to discover once we get deeper in the research, and we're just uncovering the truth. We're not doing this to get mad at anybody, to act crazy. We're not doing no Black Lives Matter stuff because it's unnecessary. The Most High is within. The Most High can snap the fingers and everything is over. I go back to Lauryn Hill's song. And Aunt Bev, if we can play that second song as we going out, that'll help to give some more information. And as Brother Robert X always says, is it real? Is it real behind this? They have the technology to do these things. Is that the reason why we don't know what that symbol is and how it got there and why it doesn't represent something else? Have they GMO'd something, or have they taken something like in the Andromeda strand? Has something come from the cosmos that they discovered, and they looked at it and found out what it was because they accessed the extra low frequency waves and tapped into those low frequency entities or those entities that live on those lower dimensions, and which explained to them what to do? Because they want to be able to have fun before time's out. They want to be able to have an experience before time's out. So the people that we thinking that, they prejudiced and they racist, that's just a divide and conquer narrative. That's just to keep us distracted, to keep us from focusing on our center.
Yes, sir. So going back to the San Andreas fault, have you done any research on HARP to understand why they had that type of disruption as far as the tectonic plates and so forth? And have you done research on HAARP?
Essentially, the Sophia, and I have another article that I can read that'll speak into this much better. Let me bring it up. But the Sophia energy, which is what protects our planet, they tried to disrupt it because they wanted to make sure they wanted these things, these energies that come through the portal that we call a sun. They wanted them to be able to get in. And they wanted to block out frequencies as well. They wanted to open a portal to let them in. And it goes back to the movie, remember the Tesseract? And remember how it opened portals to let them in?
Avengers or something, yeah.
And look at Biden. He's opening a portal now. He's letting those people in. That's like a portal. He's letting them in.
You got it.
Mm-hmm.
So it ultimately, I have to ask the question, are they trying to create containers for that energy that they're letting in, for those entities that they're letting in? And I was telling Robert X about the frescoes at the Bank of America building, and one of them symbolizes the one in the middle, tells the whole scene, and there's a vortex in that picture, and I shared it with you too, Bev. There's a vortex in that picture, and there's certain types of people that are coming down. And they accent their complexion. They look like fire people. So we go to the movie, The Last Airbender, and who were the fire people in that movie? They were the villains. So in that fresco at the Bank of America, there's a net and there's a barbed wire. And there's also different scenes. There's scenes depicting what's going on today with George Floyd. There's the biological thing. There's the Pope. There's so much. There's the military forces. There's so much. There's a black man in between a rock and a hard place. He's backed in the corner. He's having his hands up, out. There's also, it's just so much symbolism in there. And that thing was painted in the 90s. And we talked about remote viewing. They are able to see different potentialities. Just like in the Matrix with that code, and they putting codes together. Then we talked about binary and how that related, how binary code 1 and 0 and how that related to the RNA or the codons and the DNA and the RNA. But just think about the scene in Matrix, the ones and the zeros coming out of the screen. Neo, and I had this written down because there was a connection there. But all of that, all of this stuff, the movies, all of this stuff is symbolic. Neo is us. I mean the people with their pineal gland activated who have abilities. And these people out here pushing this stuff are those people who are able to transform from one person into one of those people. I forgot what they called them. But all of this is in there. All of this is related. But they want to prevent us from getting the keys. So they want to prevent us from
getting to the key. We always had the key. We are the key. But they hid it from us, and they want to stop us from finding it.
And again, I'm not talking about just race, just your color. It's anybody who has the pineal gland.
No. Yeah.
That color thing is just a cover over. It's about dividing
a distraction.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
A distraction. And there's people that have paid. Just like they used to insure stuff, shipments and stuff, Lloyd's of London. Well, Lloyd's of London is still insuring stuff. They still insuring human cattle.
Yep.
That's for a different stuff. I guess that's why T.I. wanted to seek reparations from. But anyway, not to get off on that, I want to get to this. I want to read this before we go off. Babe, how much time do we have?
And we have another caller, too. We got about a half an hour.
Okay, excellent. Let me get on this one. Okay. And you said we had another caller?
Yes.
Okay. So you can go ahead, and while I'm looking for this, you can go ahead and let them in.
Okay. Want me to open the line up? Okay. Mel, I'll keep your line open. 347-805. Is this Tugmo?
Peace, peace. Peace. What's up, Beth?
Better love. Yeah.
Better love, better love. Great show. Mm-hmm. They just put a mandate here in New York. They said they're about to open up Broadway and they want to make sure everything is safe. So, of course, they need everyone to be vaccinated. So they said anyone who gets vaccinated can come to a free Met or Yankee game of your choice. And you can sit in the vaccinated section. They have a non-vaccinated section to Citi Field at Yankee Stadium. And I said, whoa, wait a minute. Mm-hmm. I'm like, this is what reminded me of like some Jim Crow stuff. So you sit in the back in the they're going to have non-vaccinated bathrooms, non-vaccinated water fountains. Because you can't just stop there. You get what I'm saying? And this is some other stuff with where they positioned it. A non-vaccinated section, which they said will have 33% of the fans to sit in the non-vaccinated section and 66% will sit in the vaccinated section. So I said, whoa, that's odd. That's crazy. And that's all I had to say. Oh, and almost triple in the price of chlorine products. So be careful if you have a swimming pool or something like that. Those prices are going to triple. I guess bleach and stuff like that will also come into line. My mother was diagnosed with COVID-19 and pneumonia.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she had a surgery. She had a surgery. Went to the hospital. They put a stent in because she had a blockage, and then she was home for about 2 weeks. And then she told me she didn't feel good, and she actually fainted. So the ambulance took her to the hospital and they diagnosed her with COVID-19. And then they came a few hours later and said she also has pneumonia. And they kept her for like 2 days and they sent her home today. So that was like, wow. So either way, I told her, COVID don't exist. What you had was pneumonia. You know, like you didn't have COVID. Because they said her husband tested positive too. Because after she went to the hospital, they tested her husband, and he tested positive, but he ain't got no symptoms. See, what she's suffering from is pneumonia. You know what I'm saying? COVID is the common cold. You know, everybody got that. That's all I wanted to add. You know, you did a great job breaking it down.
Did they send her home with some oxygen or anything to help her?
She needs
to drink water, too.
That was one of the key things they put her on. They said she was dehydrated. That's why they kept her for 2 days.
And that's what COVID do,
fluids.
Cut. Bee pollen and zinc.
Well, my mother ain't taking nothing the doctor don't give her, right? That's like you get what I'm saying? That's like me telling... You know, mom, if you breathe, you'll live. Doctor can't hold my breath. You know what I'm saying? It's one of those, brother. You're not going to get
let me share this with-
And also, my daughter took the vaccination because she wants to go back to college. And she went without my, you know, I mean, she's 20. I can't make her do anything. But she went on a Sunday without my permission and went in. Did it and came home like, look, you know, I was like, get away from me. But, yeah, so.
Not your daughter.
You know. But either way, man, I told her, I tell my kids all the time, this is the last thing I'm going to say, brother. I tell my kids all the time, I ain't know y'all that long. You know, so don't think you saw that. You know, I only knew you for 16, 20 years. You know, I know people way longer than y'all. But go ahead.
Exactly. Exactly. And brother, I just want to share my hypothesis of what I think is going on in addition to what I explained earlier. But based on the research that I found, it appears that that the vaccine is a gene therapy, and it's penetrating the cells so that it opens up a portal in the cell. It penetrates through the protective layer of the cell so that it lets other viruses that may be dormant in the body, it lets them right on through and allows them and gives them the tools that they need to replicate themselves so that they can take over and destroy. And they'll just label it as whatever that was.
Yes, and it also, what it does to the cells too, brother, is it makes them secrete. It makes the cells secrete an oil. And that oil causes aging, early aging. So your cells start to become older than they are, you know. So if you're 40, you know, your cells might turn 60. So that's lowering your lifespan. You get what I'm saying? So back when I was this whole thing first came out. I forgot what article I got that from, but because we did a bunch of shows on COVID before we even knew really what it was, you know what I'm saying? The whole time I'm like, it's fake, and I pulled that up where this vaccination changes the function of your cells, causing them to increase age. And I believe it was the National Heart Association or some one of those. I'm going to look through my notes, brother.
Okay.
But
that's true, Tuck,
because I know people who've had it, and it just seemed like they're getting older. And it seemed like it messed with the neck, too. Their neck just seemed like it starts to get older, too. So maybe you could give your daughter some of the research so she won't take no more of those shots. Okay, we have another caller, 404-453.
Hey, shalom, shalom, Sister Bab. You hear me?
Hey, yes, better love, Wes.
Hey, but man, Chuck Most, man, tell your mama do not go to Florida Memorial Hospital, man. I'm from dying there, bro. And also, tell her to get her doctor to get her some ivermectin, man. That's what Lou Gossett Jr. took. The ivermectin, it worked, man. All right? You hear me?
Okay.
I hope you hear me, brother. Ivermectin, man, it worked.
All right. I gave her my boss, this white lady, when I told her, she gave me the name of something to tell my mother to get, and I sent it to her, and I said, what you got to do is ask for it. They'll give it to you, but they don't give it to you unless you ask for it. I don't want to burden them. Like, oh, my God. So what can I do? Like, you know, and I don't know nothing about the hospital down there. I just know she lives in the Fort Lauderdale area.
Yeah,
I'm not sure.
It, man.
You know,
I don't personally,
I don't see how anyone goes to a hospital outside of New York. But I'm like, if you send me to the hospital, I'm going to Columbia Presbyterian, right? Where the presidents go, right there. You know what I'm saying? But that's all. Peace, y'all.
Yeah, man.
Okay.
Hey, to my man that's got the show, man. He's doing good, bro. You open up some new portals, man, some new information. But, hey, that shot, you digging into it. But I'm about tired of talking about the damn thing because I ain't taking it, man. And I'm not going to give it my energy because I know how this works, man. Sister Bear, you know that how this energy works. Whatever you thank you for,
right,
and talk about, hey, I don't do it. I'm going to tell y'all something happened to me. I kept saying, I'm telling people I don't feel like cutting my yard. I don't want to cut my yard. So hey, check this out, Bill. Both of my lawnmowers tore up. As soon as I said that, them lawnmowers don't want to work. So
okay.
So when you have your thought, word, action, you got to check your words, black people. So I am urging them. If they shoot one more brother in the head, it's going to be some damn earthquakes. We already had tornadoes down south. Okay? So y'all get ready, man. Because the energy we putting out, it's going to be some damn earthquakes, man. One more brother they shoot in the head, and they don't lock them devils up like down here. They don't let the damn police back his job at Rashad Brooks. And look what happened. Tornadoes coming down here and every damn thing. See, our energy kicking out now, man. We in a day of judgment, like my man say. Thought, word, action. Whatever you think and you say it, that happened, man. I'm telling y'all, it happened, man. So I got to check my words. I got to tell you, I want to cut my yard tomorrow so my lawnmower crank. So I'm telling y'all. But I'm telling you, that shit works at the bell. Whatever you think and you say
it, I know
it works, man.
I know it.
Yeah, because we back to where we originally were in the universe. This galaxy is back to where it originally was in the universe, and now we can manifest things just by thinking about it.
Yes, sir. So whatever I need, all I got to do is think about it and say it. It popped miraculously show up, man. I'm telling y'all, that's how it works, man. And you got, I know how to control the matrix. Now, if you think it is saying what I'm looking for, there it go. I'm telling y'all, man, it worked.
And that's how I got on this show, because I always wanted to do a show, but I wanted to practice. And then suddenly, this happened.
You doing good, bro. You got the info. But I mute my line, let somebody talk. Good show. Good show, my man.
Appreciate you, brother.
Thank you, Wes.
Yes, sir. Peace and blessings. All the time.
All right.
Brother Wes is one of my favorite callers.
I'll leave your mic, though.
Hey,
Wes.
I appreciate that, man. I appreciate the love. I heard that, man. I appreciate the love, my brother.
Yeah, your swag and your delivery is just so on point. It reminds me of my dad. I appreciate you.
Yeah, I'm just still learning, man, how to control the matrix. Don't let the matrix control me. I got to know how to control the matrix, man, with the thought, word, action, man. It works every day.
You got it.
All right.
So I found
but
a nerd.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. So I wanted to read these lyrics because it speaks to it. It's the lyrics to Mystery of Iniquity by Lauryn Hill.
Okay.
It says, it's the mystery of iniquity. Said it's the misery of iniquity. Said it's the history of iniquity. When it all falls down, telling you it all falls down. Children, eat your bread. Little children, eat your bread. Because it all falls down. All falls down. I'm telling you, it all falls down. If it don't got a leg to stand on, it's going to fall down. They taking the legs off of something natural. The very building blocks of everything. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Of every kingdom. They figured out how to knock the feet off of it, how to knock the feet off the table. It's going to fall down. We don't want to fall down with it. So we want to get out of this crooked system unless we want to perish with it. When Brother X always says, get in line if you want it. The shot, get in line. I have to laugh. It's not funny, but I have to laugh because it is what it is. I had my sister, we were trying to explain to her because she used to have an anemic. She was used to be anemic. Iron had an iron deficiency, and she was anemic. And all I was saying is consult with your doctor. Find out which one may work. If you want to get it, get it. But we saying that we wouldn't get it into because we have too many questions. So when we try to address it, she got an attitude with us, called me chewing me out and everything. And I'm like, I had to think about Brother X, and I said, okay, well, get in line then.
And I'm quite sure all of us in our families, I'm dealing with the same thing. You know, I'm telling them what I'm learning from the research. And they still going to get in their line. They don't care. So I just ain't nothing you can do. Let them get in line. But my thing is, I like to understand exactly what they're doing because it's like if you in a fight, you know, and your enemies, they got the Uzis and you got a knife, you're not going to win that fight. So I like to kind of know, at least so when I go within, I can tell my cells and activate my pioneer and let them know here they come. Here come the invasion. You know, this is what they bringing in. So they can know how to handle that.
Absolutely. I want to be the last dragon in this situation. I want to be able to catch them bullets if they got a Uzi. My name is Leroy. So I show enough want to be the last dragon and I want to get that glow. And that glow, that movie for me symbolized his name. His name was Bruce Leroy. And to me, that glow symbolizes Christ consciousness. his activation of his macabre, his light body. It's a simple. So, also, how many minutes we got, babe? Because it wasn't Tutmos, but it was the other gentleman who wanted me. I wanted to cite an article to give him a better understanding.
Okay,
so let me go back.
We got about 20 minutes.
Okay, so we want you to get all your money's worth. So we're going to take off all the time. Okay, so it is, where is it? Okay, this comes from.
Kwame say, Kwame say, can you open his line before you go off, please?
His line been open.
Okay,
his line is been, I know, it's open.
Okay.
Okay. Appreciate
Kwame.
All right, go ahead, bro.
Yeah, I didn't know it was open. I've been hitting one, and it wasn't nothing happening.
Because you was open? I just left you open when you didn't answer.
Okay, thanks.
You have a question or a comment? Or are you listening?
Yeah, but I wanted to comment because he was talking about Andromeda, and a very important key that what he was showing, and I was hoping that he was going to get to it. And the part is Nepsis. You know what Nepsis is. That's what he's been describing, the sign of the trident with the T at the bottom. That's what it's called.
Right.
And Nepsis is the spirit in itself, a higher echelon of spiritualism, particularly in religion and mysticism. But what he was referring to when he was dealing with Andromeda and Cepheus and her mother, Cassiopis, is that he was talking about that constellation, that galaxy that we're now heading into with us in this solar system. And what is telling us is that when you're dealing with Neptune, because Andromeda is in with the constellation, in the zodiac is connected with Neptune or Pisces, and we're leaving the era of Pisces, and we're changing from Dracos to Cepheus. This is what the north is going to be in the constellation up above us, and what we're doing is in alignment. And she, Andromeda, is the chain female. She is the chain daughter, and she's going to be free in this next alignment that we're coming into with North, because when Neptune is part of its beneficial part of Neptune is the aspect that it creates the imagination and the intuition, but it really brings about the higher cosmic consciousness. This is why I was sharing with you about the 11,464,000 pounds of micro cosmic dust that has been bathing the earth, because we're in this belt, and we are getting this dust because it's changing the frequency of our consciousness. Excellent book, if anybody would listening, it's a book called The Genie in Your Genes, and what it's talking about, the epigenetics and medicines and the new biology intention. And what they're finding out is that our neurons and in our brains, our synapses, are all reproducing, quadrupling. And what they're doing is becoming crystalline.
Yes.
Crystalline. And this is what the frequency that we're now being able to receive in these higher particles of this cosmic dust is that it's activating the brain to activate the DNA is what they're attacking with this artificial mRNA, because what feeds the DNA is the RNA. And what they're doing is that this is part of the Human Genome Project. Genome means is death, G-E-N-O-M-E, G, know me. This is the way in which they're doing, this is a whole new genocidal process. Because you look at genetically, when a child is in the womb, there's three generations in that woman's body. Three generations in that womb's, that woman's body when that child is in the womb, because the eggs are already put into that fetus when it's growing its body. Its eggs are already there for the grandchildren of that woman to have. And what they're attacking now is the next three generations.
Absolutely.
Because
you're
looking at the three generations because they know that this galactic shift, we knew this coming into from 1960s when they said the age of Aquarius. They knew this by reading the Mayan calendars, reading the Kemetic calendars, reading the Chinese calendars. We were going to be back at that point of this cosmic shift. And this is what we're in now, because this is why when you talk about Cepheus, the Ethiopian king, who was Cepheus' brother? Egyptus. That's where Egypt got its name from. The constellation Egyptus was Cepheus' brother. And this is where, and what did they just open up? Jim, the great Egyptian museum. They just risen into the constellation because the museum is built in alignment with what? Serum Het, sitting just the south from the museum, is the Sphinx. And the Sphinx represents Leo, and the sign of Aquarius, and the opposite of Aquarius is Leo. All of our ancestors have been brought out of the museums and put out into the energy where this is going to align them in this building built by an Irish woman and a Chinese man, and saying that it is the fourth great pyramid, because they're knowing the cosmic energy. Why we had the storms, West, is because the third and the second and the third, we got hit with the CME that came off of the sun and created earthquakes and these storms that we just went through. These energies are coming from our galaxy and from within the solar system and our sun. These are the energies that's changing the consciousness that they are in fear of.
You got it. You're definitely on it. And I found that article called Cross Theology by Lisa Renee, and it's on Circle of Dolphins. And it's dated March 1st, 2021. And it says, Cross Theology, that's the name of it. It says, the purpose of the artificial cross architecture designed to uphold cross theology is to enslave humanity through the crucifixion and promote blood sacrifice of their inner spiritual being or personal Christ self. Religion was created by the negative alien agenda to keep these cross implants and their religious belief systems of mind control in place so that humanity would live in fear of the retribution from his false father alien god. The iconic deception and its controller mechanism are to keep humanity subservient to the continual feeding of their false god vampires. One of the most prolific ways to feed the bloodthirsty vampires is mass killing in wars, and to especially kill other human beings in the name of God or religion. This is blood sacrifice, which in all cases is satanic ritual killing. Satan is also associated with Saturn, which feeds Satanism as a world value system while spreading satanic forces to aggressively inhabit bodies on Earth. The negative alien agenda, extra-dimensional entities are in the majority a satanic force, so this ideology of blood sacrifice is aligned to their warring and killing predator mentality. And I'll end it there.
Okay. All right, well, you finished, Kwame? We're down to our last 10 minutes.
But he hit the key point, because you're looking at when the women are not vaccinated, these women are now having longer cycles, they're clotting, they're losing part of their reproductive organs.
Uterus.
Miscarriage is because the woman is the lifeblood. The woman is another attack on the female energy, because even in the first story of Eve and the part that she was supposed to be cursed and having birth pains when she reproduced life, because the woman reproduces an egg every month through her cycle. Man envied of that. Who was the first person to kill someone? Cain slew Abel. Cain slew Abel because man does not reproduce blood to bring forth life. He spills blood to produce death. This is the whole nexus of what we're going through since their conception of who they think they are.
Got it.
Well, this is very interesting. I mean, we're going deeper down that rabbit hole, and we will continue this next Wednesday. So make sure you, family, join us so we can get deeper into this. So, I mean, we have the answers with the family input, with you, with Dr. Robert X. So it's like it's no way that the listeners here should get caught up into what they're doing. And then we should also be able to undo, if we do get caught up, you know, we should be able to undo that.
And Aunt Bev.
And prevent it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, go ahead.
And I want to leave everybody with, they may laugh off this, I want to leave it off laughter. An article just popped up on Resolution Television. And the title of it is,
okay,
Are Bill and Melinda Gates Transgender? That makes
sense.
Yeah,
we know she is. She looks more like a man than he do.
Oh, God. But, good. Oh, my God.
Well,
how did
so,
he?
Thank
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
So,
I didn't even know she looked like that.
Well, to me, I've seen him, I think it's two people or something going on, because I've seen him, well, one time she looks like a woman, then another time she looked like a transgender. So I don't know what they got going on or what they're doing. But we will continue this research, so join us next Wednesday at the same time. And thank you, Leroy. For your time and for your research and for being here and sharing it with us. And we're going to leave with Lauren Hill. Better love.
Good night, fam. Better love.
Good night.
It's the mystery of iniquity. That is the misery of iniquity. That is the history of iniquity. Oh, and it all falls down, yeah. Telling you all, it all falls down, yeah. Children, eat your bread, little children, yeah. Eat your bread, cause it all falls down.
Can't handle the truth in a courtroom alive. Purges the jurors, witnesses, spies. Crooked lawyers, false indictments publicized. Entertainment, the arraignments, the subpoenas. High profile gladiators in bloodthirsty arenas. Enter the dragon, black robe, crooked balance. Souls bought and sold and paroled for 30 talents. Court reporter, catch the circus on the paper. File it in the system, not acknowledged by the maker. Swearing by the Bible, blatantly blasphemous. Publicly perpetrating that in God we trust. Cross-examined by a master manipulator, the faster, intimidator, receiving the judge's favor, deceiving sabers, doing injury to their neighbors, for status, gratis, apparatus, and legal waivers. See the bailiff, representing security, holding the word of God, soliciting perjury, the prosecution, political prostitution, the more money you pay, the further away solution, legal actors, Babylon's benefactors, masquerading as the agency for the clients, hypocritical giants, morally non-compliant, orally armed to do bodily harm, polluted, recruited, and suited, judicial charm, and the defense, is it making any sense? fake in the confidence of escaping the consequence that a defendant is dependent on the system, totally void of judgment, purposely made to twist them, emotional victim, blackmailed by the henchmen, framed by intentions, inventions whereby they lynch men. Enter the false witness, slandering the accused, planting the seed, openly showing he's being used to discredit, edit, headed for the alleged, smearing the individual, fearing the unsuspected, expert witness, the paid authority, made a priority to deceive the majority of disinterested peers, dodging duty for years, hating the process, waiting to return to their careers. Do we expect a system made for the elect to possibly judge correct, properly serve and protect, materially corrupt, spiritually amok, oblivious to the cause, prosperously bankrupt, blindly to the blind, guilty never defined, filthy as swine, a generation pure in its own mind, legal extortion, blown out of proportion, in vain deceit, the truth is obsolete. Only two positions, victimizer or victim, both end up in destruction, trusting this crooked system. Mafia with diplomas, keeping us in a coma, trying to own a piece of the American corona. The revolving door, insanity every floor, skyscraping, paper chasing, what are we working for? Empty traditions, reaching social position, teaching ambition to support the family superstition. When the son of perdition is commander-in-chief, the stand at his feet. Brethren, can we candidly speak? Woe to the men, trusting in the chariot stem, leaning on horses, they run their intellectual sources. Counterfeit wisdom, creating the illusion of freedom. Confusion consumes them. Every word they speak, it then turns them outwardly white. Internally, they're absent of light, them trapped in the night, and bondage to the cane of the night. Under the curse, evil men waxing more worse, facts than the first. Angelic being cast to the earth, it's time for rebirth. Burning up the branch and the root, the empty pursuits of every tree bearing the wrong fruit. Turn to be healed, let him who stole no longer steal. Oh Israel, surrender for Jehovah is real. How long will you sleep, troubled by the thoughts that you keep, the idols you heap, causing the destruction you reap? Judgment is come, find it and return to the one. Abandon the flesh, self-interest, broadway to death, pride and the greed, hide and subdivide in the seed. The knowledge of good and evil is what caused us to lie, caused us to die. Let your emotions be crucified, renounce all your thoughts, repent and let your mind be retaught. You find what you sought was based on a deception you bought, a perception of naught where the majority remains caught. Loving a lie, not realizing an atom or die. Loving a lie, not realizing an atom or die. Loving a lie, not realizing an atom or die. Loving a lie, not realizing an atom or die. It's a mystery.